Our first reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. Let's listen together for the word of the Lord. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May all God's people say amen. Please forgive me, I forgot to mention with the opening announcements, the red registry pads in the pews, they're on your right side of every pew. When you have a chance, fill that out, pass it down to your left, person on the left, put it right in the offering plate when those comes around in just a little bit of time. Our next reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Let's listen for the word of the Lord together. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I have some news for everyone here this morning. We're all a bunch of sheep. At least we better hope that we're the sheep. It's strange, really, isn't it, that a word with such a negative connotation in our world today also gives us one of the most iconic images of Jesus in a field with a sheep wrapped around his shoulders. Who doesn't love to imagine Jesus as the good shepherd? And that is until we realize that makes us the sheep. Now, are there any farmers here today? Anyone have a flock of sheep at home? I was assuming no, but I thought I'd ask to make sure. You see, that's the problem. We don't really have any way of understanding what this means to be a sheep in the Bible. All we can think of is probably some mindless follower. But in the real world, sheep only follow a trusted shepherd. Now cattle we know can be pushed from behind. But sheep, they need to want to follow. You can't trick them. They won't go anywhere that the shepherd doesn't first go. See, the key is that voice, the shepherd's voice. thankfully, this morning we hear our shepherd is calling us. Our shepherd knows each of our names. Our shepherd will do anything for us. In fact, has offered himself already as the ultimate sacrifice for each of us here. Our shepherd, our good shepherd, is calling us out into the world. And though it may seem scary at times, though we may not know where we are going, we do know he's always with us, leading us, always going first. So that means we know we are always safe when we follow his voice. Our good shepherd is calling us. All we have to decide is how will we respond? Now we can hear his voice calling us. We know that voice saying our name. But how will we respond? Every day, our good shepherd is calling us to places that we don't know. Do we have faith? Do we have enough faith that all it takes for us is hearing Christ call our names? Will hearing that voice let us immediately go into the world and follow him? Well, our story in Acts, that first reading, is a continuation of Peter and John healing the person by the synagogue. We didn't read it. It skipped over in this lectionary. But these two apostles were heading to pray and worship at the temple in Jerusalem when a beggar, who's never walked a day in his life, asks the two apostles for money. But instead of money, which they didn't have with them, Peter offers something else. Peter heals him through the power of Jesus Christ. The key to the story now is that Peter doesn't do anything. It's Jesus who heals him. All Peter did was let Jesus' name be known to this man. Peter showed the love of Jesus to this person that the rest of the people just learn to ignore every day. Peter and John and all of the apostles at this point were finally allowing everything that Jesus had been teaching them to grow within them. Now, for the last 3 weeks, we've heard Jesus calling the apostles out from behind those closed doors, out from fear and into the new world. Once they finally listened, once they followed that good shepherd, just look at what's happened. They shared the love of Christ. They let this stranger know the power of Jesus' name, and now he is forever changed in the story. That's our call today, to bring the name of Jesus to the places that we don't know, to all those places we'd really rather not go day to day, to share the love of the Good Shepherd with everyone that we meet. Oh, we can hear his voice calling us. We know that voice saying each of our names. But how will we respond? Are we willing to leave ourselves behind? Are we willing to let go of what we want? If Jesus only calls our name, the Good Shepherd lets us know clearly it's not going to be easy. We're going to face both cruelty and kindness. But if we do, if we follow the Lord wherever he leads us, he will answer prayers in us, and we will answer prayers in him. See, we see in Acts that the apostles face different kinds of crowds, don't they? Sometimes their words and their actions attracted crowds, thousands upon thousands. Sometimes those same actions and words scared people, angered people. See, this morning we saw what happened when 5,000 new followers listened to the apostles. Peter and John, the two getting credit for this healing, they're brought to the halls of power to answer for the threat they pose. By what power did you do this? Under whose authority did you heal this man? It's strange, isn't it? You'd think everyone would be celebrating this man that everyone has been carrying every day to the same spot so he could beg for money, can now walk. And yet here we find Peter and John under arrest. See, that's the thing about our call as Christians. We're not always meant to be rubbing shoulders with the powers that be. Instead, there will be times we risk hostile environments, but if we bring the love of Christ with us, if we're sharing his name in everything we do, then we can have faith we're never alone. He is with us, calling us exactly to where we need to be. Oh, we can hear his voice calling us. We know that voice saying our names. But how will we respond? Now, this Good Shepherd Discourse, it's called. It's in John. It immediately follows that famous scene of Jesus giving sight to a blind man one chapter earlier. And so Jesus is surrounded by this crowd who just witnessed a miracle. And he's teaching them that he calls them by name. He knows each of them in that crowd, and that ultimately he will lay down his life for those sheep. Now think back, all the way back to when Jesus first began his ministry, all the way back to Nazareth, where he quoted Isaiah to tell the world exactly what he's come to do, to bring good news to the poor, release prisoners, give sight to the blind, and set free the oppressed. Now, today, Jesus is calling our names to help the blind see. Of course, I'm not saying we could or even should go rub mud on a blind person's eyes. But we can share with them the name of Christ. We can show his love to them and let them see like never before. Jesus isn't expecting us to break people out of prison, but we are called to share his name, to show his love to those who are captive to sin, those who are captive to oppression, those who are captive to anything other than Christ, and free them in ways no shackle could ever hold them. If we share with the world what Christ means to us, and just as importantly, what we all mean to Christ, then we will know that we are following him. Oh, we can hear his voice calling us. We know that voice saying our names, but how will we respond? Now, up until now, it's been all about where will we go. But first, before we can go out into those places we don't know, facing hostile responses and freeing people from the chains of death, we must first free ourselves. Before we can take the love of Christ into the world and share it with everyone we meet, we have to understand the love Christ has for us. Parts of us we hide from others. The parts of us we hope no one ever sees. Christ has already seen them. Christ knows every corner of our minds and still loves us and still calls each of us by name. So if we can resist that natural fear of living opposite to how the world wishes we live, if we can use our faith in Christ, oh, then the world will be transformed. Just like the apostles started doing in Acts. From the very moment they felt the Spirit come to them on Pentecost, they were changing the world one life at a time. See, that's the challenge. Too often, We see such an overwhelming need, and we can easily get overwhelmed. We see just how many people need help in their lives, and we end up helping no one. But if we can start with one person, one life, one sheep of the flock, it will grow. I promise you, it will grow. And we can change the world just like those apostles, starting right here in this church. We can transform the world through the love and the words and the actions of Christ by demonstrating his love for others, his radical love that knows no bounds. If we can do that, we will live as the apostles live. We will live out our call of Christ because our good shepherd is truly calling our names. But how will we respond? Friends, today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and it's the first time that we go beyond those post-resurrection appearances into what our lives could be in this new Easter world. Now, whether we like it or not, whether the rest of the world wants to admit it, Christ changed everything that Easter morning. He is our good shepherd, the one who laid down his life for all of us. He took the chains that pulled us from him, that pulled us from being who God so desperately wants us to be, and broke those chains forevermore. And now Christ is calling all of our names. He is summoning us into the world, and we do know his voice, but are we willing to follow him? That's the question for us today. Are we willing to follow Jesus if he just calls our names? Or do we need a little prodding, a little convincing, maybe even a little tricking? Will we go kicking and screaming, or will we finally live into this Easter world and go with him wherever he shows, wherever he calls, wherever he leads? Now, our next hymn asks us these questions. And they also offer us an answer that we can give if, and only if, we're ready. If we are, we can sing our final verse next, full of faith, because we know we will move and live and grow in the Lord, and the Lord will move and live and grow in us. So listen. Listen to the Good Shepherd. Hear him calling your name and follow him. Amen.